I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I am concerned that people will not abide by recommendations, and we're not talking about mandates or forcing anybody, but when you have a situation where the volume of cases in society gets to a reasonably high level, particularly the vulnerable, those who are elderly and those with underlying conditions, are going to be more susceptible and vulnerable if they do get infected to get severe disease leading to hospitalization. We know that. That's a fact. We've seen that. So I would hope that if, in fact, we get to the point where the volume of cases is such and organizations like the CDC recommend, CDC doesn't mandate anything, I mean recommends that people wear masks, I would hope that they abide by the recommendation and take into account the risk to themselves and to their families. And again, we're not talking about forcing anybody to do anything.
We're not forcing anyone to do anything. According to Dr. Fate, as he was talking over the weekend, referencing the sudden uptick in COVID cases, is that true? Does the CDC order anyone to do anything? Well, now, you know, it depends upon your reference point. They can certainly put in place quarantines. They can issue a federal isolation or quarantine order. So when he says the CDC doesn't order anything, that's Dr. Fake. He's not aware that they can do that? Of course they can. At any point, if a quarantine disease is suspected or identified, the CDC may issue a federal isolation or quarantine order. And then public health authorities at the federal, state, local authorities, I should say, at that point apparently have some allowances for what they do or don't do. Now, again, this is not my reading of it. This is from the CDC. I got a few pop-ups that are blocking some of this, but they're talking about things like cholera, diphtheria, infectious tuberculosis, plague, smallpox, yellow fever. Isolation requires sick people with a quarantinable, communicable disease be separated from those who are not sick. Quarantine separates and restricts the movement of people who were exposed to a contagious disease to see if they become sick. And in addition to serving as medical functions, isolation and quarantine also are, quote, police power functions. Police power functions derived from the right of the state to take action affecting individuals for the benefit of society. Now, again, I'm not questioning that. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying when Dr. Fake says they don't order anything, that's a lie, and he knows it. But they don't have to actually order it. They can simply say, we recommend. And to those who want to use it as a directive, they can quickly apply it. They did. In our last bout with CDC, I mean with the COVID. And if we're not careful, they'll try to do it again. Let me break some of this down for you. First of all, let's set the stage for you. Here we are, September 5, 2023, second hour of Larry Connors USA. Glad we can have back-to-back hours for you. From what I hear from you, you're also appreciating it and enjoying it. Thank you. Share it with your family, your friends, even your enemies. And, of course, if you cannot listen live, don't forget also we do have streaming while we're on the air at Larry Connors USA Facebook or Twitter, or News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, and at Rumble. And if you miss any of those, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com. You'll be able to pull it up and listen to the entire program you missed and share it with others. You can also subscribe for free. Just subscribe, click it. We'll send it to you daily. You certainly don't pay for it, and we do not sell your information to anyone. Now, I had in the preceding hour, in case you missed it, when Fauci is talking about, you know, just in case we should have this again, I hope people pay attention because we know there could be, you know, problems with people who don't get properly treated. Well, they also knew, but they weren't telling you what I stated for you in the last hour. Let me repeat some of it for you. The Army, the military, I should say, contracted with a group called Humatrix Cloud Services. They were to perform a fresh analysis, as is being considered in 2021, whether the COVID-19 vaccine boosters were necessary amid studies which were finding the vaccine effectiveness, the VE, was lessening. It was not doing the job it was supposed to. Especially for the most vulnerable, those 65 and older. And they knew it. They knew it, but they never told you that. They still said, go out and get the vaccine, you'll be fine. Oh, well, you might need a booster. No, you might actually need another booster. And yet they knew that none of the vaccines were doing as we were supposedly led to believe. Even the vaccine makers later said, no, we're not curing it. We're not stopping it. It's a preventative measure. Preventative measure is, you want to be in a car wreck, don't get in a car. That's a preventative measure. That's very akin to what they were doing here. And for him to say that the CDC has no authority to issue a rule, what was Title 42? Title 42 allowed the president, under the CDC guidelines, which are recommendations, which are, to wit, an order, it is, then no one can come into the country until we find out they've got COVID, being tested for that, and should have been for other diseases, much less if they have a interest in destroying our country. There was a New York Times study. CNN even dared report it. They reported exactly what the study said on the high points. I want you to listen to the CNN anchor as he reads it, and then I'm going to restate it for you again, because in that study, it makes it clear your mask, not even the vaccines, your mask were never going to do the job.
The most rigorous and comprehensive analysis of scientific studies conducted on the efficacy of masks for reducing the spread of respiratory illness, including COVID-19, was published last month. Its conclusions, said Tom Jefferson, the Oxford epidemiologist who is the lead author, were unambiguous. There is just no evidence that they, masks, make any difference, he told the journalist Mayan Damasi, full stop. But wait, hold on. What about the N95 masks as opposed to the lower quality surgical or cloth masks? Masks makes no difference. None of it, he said. Well, what about the studies that initially persuaded policymakers to impose mask mandates? They were convinced by non-randomized studies, flawed observational studies.
Did you catch all that? May I brief you on a couple of points? This was a study by a leading epidemiologist regarding masks in general. They did no good. What about the N95, those special masks? Well, last week we told you that in some cases you wear them continuously. They can cause you additional health issues. But reference COVID or anything like that, the leading author of the study stated, makes no difference, none of it. What about the studies that initially persuaded policymakers to impose mask mandates? And Dr. Fauci will insist, and he's going to again here in a moment, I never mandated, the hell you didn't. If so, why didn't you stand up and say, you should not have to abide by any mandate put in place in your area if you don't want to, because a mask won't work? And he knew that. He knew it because an Army study conducted by Humatrex Cloud Services found numerous emails where they were already communicating back and forth. Yeah, the vaccine effectiveness is not working, and the mask have not been that effective. What about the studies initially persuaded policymakers to impose mask mandates? As reported by the New York Times, the answer from the lead study author, they were convinced by non-randomized studies, flawed observational studies. Well, with that in mind, Dr. Fauci, what do you have to say about masks?
When you're talking about the effect on the epidemic or the pandemic as a whole, the data are less strong. But when you talk about as an individual basis of someone protecting themselves or protecting themselves from spreading it to others, there's no doubt that there are many studies that show that there is an advantage. When you took at the broad population level, like the Cochrane study, the data are less firm with regard to the effect on the overall pandemic. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about an individual's effect on their own safety. That's a bit different than the broad population.
That is wishy-washy, wussy remarking. We were talking about the broad population. That's why the broad population was under a mask mandate. If you're flying, if you're in public transport, if you're in an Uber, if you're in a class or a group, you must have a mask if you're going to go in, and you're not allowed to go in and see a dying relative. Unless you had a mask, and even then you might not be allowed in. Oh, no, we weren't talking about that. We're talking about if you yourself would wear a mask, it might help protect you. That's not what you said. That is not the way you stated it, nor was it interpreted as just, oh, well, that would be individual decision-making, wouldn't it? There was no individual decision-making. There was a mandate. Whether you stated a mandate, which in effect you did, or you say, well, it was just a recommendation. The recommendation carried with it a whip. Close your schools. Shut down transportation. Shut down casinos, restaurants, mom-and-pop businesses, run them out of business. Let the government be in control. And what about those shutdown reasonings? Here again, Dr. Fake is trying to ease out of what he bore.
The question is, how long should a shutdown have been? And I think that there's varying degrees of differences in that, and I agree that if you look back at the things that I've said back then, we should try as best as possible to keep the schools open and the schools that are closed to get them open safely by any of a number of means, including increasing the ventilation in schools, making sure that the people around the children are properly vaccinated. So I agree. I mean, there was a point where we had a shutdown, but the duration of the shutdown is something that is questionable.
No, it's not. And in fact, you knew the younger, healthy children were not at risk anyway. All right, back to another issue. Bidengate. Bidengate leading to an impeachment. Who will be targeted and when?
We need to go into impeachment right now. I know that people are reluctant and some people in so-called swing districts, but look, we voted for H.R. 1, which is critically important, having to deal with energy. If we can't vote for impeachment of a guy who's blatantly corrupt, and we have the evidence out there between the work that's being done by, you know, the Oversight Committee under Comer, what we're seeing in the Justice Committee, or the Justice Committee under...
the Judiciary?
Judiciary Committee. Sorry, losing my mind here. Judiciary Committee under Jim Jordan. We're seeing all this evidence. Plus, you know, Senator Grassley released the evidence from the FBI informant. You have all this information. It's not like it's not there. It's there, but the Biden administration under Merrick Garland are doing everything they can to slow walk and hide it.
They have indeed. And as, of course, as you well now know, we have emails. And the emails show that there were communications back and forth between Hunter and Daddy, and communications, as Claudia Tenney, the New York congresswoman, stated. When you look at what's in the Biden emails, you're going to find that there was more evidence. We know that. So once again, back to the New York congresswoman, Tenney, overall on where we stand at this point.
I think it's a great idea, and I think a lot of people are advancing it. I fully support cutting off certain funding for various groups. I mean, the FBI is out of control, completely corrupt, slow-walking this Hunter Biden investigation. We see that they intervened to shut down people on Facebook and Twitter and now X or whatever it is. But also, you know, the laptop. I mean, they shut down the New York Post and Miranda Devine's bombshell discovery of the laptop from hell, the Hunter Biden's laptop. Which, by the way, is true. You know, those 51 intelligence agents all are getting sued. They should be charged. And then we have a Department of Justice under, I think, the most corrupt attorney general we ever had. I call him a dirty cop, Merrick Garland, for what he's been doing, not prosecuting people like and allowing the investigations to go forward. I mean, we have incredible evidence in plain sight.
In plain sight. And in fact, to that extent, Louisiana Congressman, I should say Louisiana Senator, Kennedy makes it very clear. I mean, whatever is in plain sight is what you see in front of you right now.
If you are fair-minded and have any sort of moral compass, all this sleaze surrounding Hunter Biden and President Biden and their family has got to make you want to gag. Now, I know what the official White House line is. The official White House line is that, look, President Biden is just a good family man who talks to six out of his seven grandchildren every day, and who is such a swell daddy that he regularly calls into Hunter's business meetings to talk about weather. Now, if you believe that, you will never own your own home. At a minimum, the evidence brought forth by the House and by Senator Grassley, by the way, in the Senate, is clarion clear that President Biden was well aware of what his son was doing, and he aggressively enabled it.
And
that's sleazy.
That is sleazy. And I think Senator John Kennedy nailed it. You were hearing some audience reaction because he was appearing on Sean Hannity last Friday night when he was making those remarks. But again, he nailed it. There's been a lot of sleaze around this family. It happened during the Obama administration. Obama probably had to know about it. The Clintons have had the same kind of issue. And they realized they could create this Clinton Foundation, get away with a lot of money. And Biden saw a way that he could also make money. Joe wants you to believe he's a blue-collar worker, lunch-pail Joe. He's worth the minimum $10 million net worth. Coming up, Christine Bob, stealing your vote. The inside story of the 2020 election, what it means for 2024. So we've got a lot yet to go. You don't want to miss any of it. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer, be well with Wellington.
And where down we go.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We spent a lot of time today talking about COVID and the recent uptick. And, of course, the concern is the timing going into the 2024 election. And we remember how it was used, abused, going into 2020. And from that also raised more questions about, was the vote legitimate? My next guest has written a book titled Stealing Your Vote, The Inside Story of 2020 Election, What It Means for 2024. Christine Bob, glad to have you with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and I want to point out, first of all, Semper Fi. Fellow Marine there. And also had served as, is an attorney for President Trump at Save America. Now, when we saw the issue with COVID back in 2020, there is no doubt that was also weaponized as to, oh, we're going to do more mail-in ballots. People cannot go to the polls. They can go buy gasoline, go to the store, go anywhere else, but can't seem to stand in line to vote.
Right.
So how did that fit in?
It's too dangerous to go to the polls. Well, of course, they had to have an excuse for all of the mail-in ballots that they wanted to flood into the election. And the fact that they're trying to resurrect these COVID restrictions now is, I don't think, a coincidence. I mean, you don't have a pandemic for 100 years, and then suddenly you have one every election cycle.
It must just be like the locusts that come back in certain periods of the year, right?
But just only around November every 4 years.
But that's just one part of the inside story of the 2020 election.
Right.
And when I say that your book reads Stealing Your Vote, you might be indicted, you know, in Georgia somewhere for insurrection.
For saying that the vote was stolen?
Yeah, you can't do that.
No, you're not allowed to do it. And apparently being a Republican means you're part of an organized crime group. I mean, that's what they've done in Georgia with these charges that they've brought by bringing the president of the United States, his chief of staff, his counsel, both personal and public counsel, as well as the chairman of the Georgia GOP and political operatives in the GOP. She effectively has declared Republicans in Georgia as a criminal organization.
Well, how did they use what they did in 2020 and learned how to make it better and more improved to steal the election in 2024?
Well, I think they're going to have a hard time repeating 2020 because it was kind of like a silver bullet that they intended to use once and not have to use again. The problem is they didn't quite take out Donald Trump. He's back. And so we all need to be involved to make sure that they can't repeat 2020. The advantage that they had in 2020 was no one was paying attention. No one was aware of the problems surrounding elections, or for the few folks that were, there weren't enough people involved. Nobody was talking about the problems with mail-in ballots or closing the polls or removing Republicans or all of the many, many problems that we saw, the voter rolls, cleaning out the voter rolls, all that stuff. Now we will have had 4 years of people working to clean it up, working to push against it. So it's going to be hard for them to replicate it, but they're proving that they're going to try to replicate 2020. So we need, the way we stop them is have as many Americans as we can involved at the local county and precinct level to make sure that they can't do it again.
Well, in the 2022 midterm elections, we still had Biden saying that in Georgia, the Republicans put in Jim Crow on steroids and black people won't be able to vote. They had the highest turnout ever.
Yeah, I mean, they are still lying now. More people believed it in 2022. Less people were involved in 2022. I think people saw what happened to Kari Lake's race in Arizona, and Abe Hamadeh won that election. He should be the Attorney General of Arizona, but they stopped counting. They didn't complete all of the ballots. If they counted all of the ballots, Abe Hamadeh would be the Attorney General there. So the way we fix it is outnumbering them, not just by number of votes, but by the people working the polls. We have to secure them. We have to make sure they're not adding extra ballots. We have to make sure that the elections are being conducted legally in accordance with the laws of that state. So,
well, where do we stand now? I'm sorry. Where do we stand now, reference to 2020, on voter ID and illegals and verifying that who is voting is a registered voter in that area, much less being an illegal American, illegal and in America.
Well, it depends on the state, right? Some states have voter ID and some states don't. Washington, D.C. doesn't. Georgia, I think, just passed it. You know, certain states do and certain states don't. So depending on the state you're in, you know, get involved at your precinct. Precinctstrategy.com or causeofamerica.org can get you plugged in your local area. And, of course, we have to abide by the laws. If the laws don't require ID to vote, you can't make up that requirement. But you can work with your county officials and you can work with your state legislatures to pass that law and make that law a requirement, or to make sure that people only get one ballot. I mean, you might be surprised at how many people went to multiple voting locations. I mean, in Nevada, they had 42,000 people vote twice. So,
well, hey, in Texas, they had dead people vote, so doesn't surprise me.
yeah, so we just need good, honest people. I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. If you're honest and you want to make sure that it's the American people who are choosing their leaders, then get involved and be a part of the solution and work the polls. It's really, really important.
You're listening to Christine Bobb. She's author of the book, Stealing Your Vote, The Inside Story of the 2020 Election, What It Means for 2024. Another part of the scenario here is that a lot of folks don't fully realize it's a federal election that's at the top of the ballot, but it's all run by each state, as you pointed out. Each state makes its own laws, even though it's a federal election.
Yeah, that's right. And it's good that each state runs their own law, like has control. We want it decentralized. We don't want the federal government controlling everything about every election, or we'll have a dictatorship. So we want it run at each state, but it's important that everybody get involved at your state. And quite honestly, you don't even need to be involved at the state level, although that's great if you can and are willing to do that. Just get involved in your county. I mean, these county officials are the ones that actually administer the elections in your local area. So get in touch with them. What are they doing? Are they doing it quickly? I mean, that's why we're talking about Maricopa County in Arizona and Fulton County in Georgia and Allegheny County in Pennsylvania, Wayne County in Detroit, Michigan. I mean, all of these counties are the ones that were causing the problems in 2020. It's the counties. We should have more than enough people volunteering at the county level. You know, you don't have to somehow get to know your U.S. senator. Just get to know your county clerk.
So what about, you know, the extended days? I mean, I do agree that if you have just one day, it can be difficult for some to vote, or they end up doing absentee. There are reasons plus minus, but what value did it carry in 2020 versus going into 2024? The longer voting period, extended period, sometimes just opens up the door for more opportunity for fraud.
Well, it completely opens up the door for fraud, and I think that's what we saw in 2020, especially with these mail-in ballots. I mean, 2020 was unlike any other election we've ever had in this country, and for the media to immediately come out and say, oh, there's no evidence of fraud, this is the most secure election in U.S. history, was just a bold-faced lie right from the get-go, right from November 3rd of 2020, they were making that claim. It's like, how can you claim that? This election has been done completely differently than any other election in U.S. history. There are no safeguards. We've got lots of affidavits and evidence from people who are saying they saw these midnight ballot drops and, you know, experts saying that the numbers didn't add up. And the canvassers, for example, in Wayne County Canvas, they said the poll books don't match, so we can't certify this election because the precincts are reporting different numbers than what the county is reporting. So this can't be right. These numbers cannot be right because they don't match what the precincts are reporting. And that was overlooked in every county.
Well, there's another issue. There's another issue in there as well, and that is the way it was always presented, and I could watch it that election night, that the network state-controlled media, I call them now, instead of mainstream media, they were pointing out, look, Trump is winning here and winning here, but he can't break through the blue wall. He can't get the blue wall, and that will stop him. That's the Electoral College. That's where everything is decided. And he did break through, and then suddenly Hillary Clinton is saying, we should get rid of the Electoral College. I won popular vote.
Yeah, I mean, thank God our founding fathers had the foresight to draft their constitution the way that they did, so that you don't have this this type of crazy liberal mentality where you've got these deep blue cities that are trying to completely disregard what the middle of America needs.
And you know, and if votes are manufactured in those deep blue cities, they could certainly swing a state regardless of what outside urban areas vote, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The Electoral College is a safeguard against that type of fraud that in one or two or in...
But I mean, if they have enough to win the electoral votes of that state, they've done the same thing.
They have, but it's different if you have, 10 million people in one state and 500,000 in another state. You're going to have different electoral votes, but the popular vote, both matter, whether it's state or county. These cities are, you can't allow these corrupt blue cities.
All right. Well,
run everything.
One other question in the last 30 seconds we've got here. This time, they're after Trump on four different indictments. They may still have a fifth coming out of Arizona. How's that going to affect this election very quickly?
I'm sorry, how will what?
All the indictments against Trump and trying to nail him.
Oh,
down.
I mean, they're making him more popular. I think it's highlighting the fact the American people are going, what are they charging him with? Like, what are they saying he did? And I think it's causing the American people to realize how corrupt and how evil the system really has become, and it's the government. I mean, you have the weight of the United States government against one man, and they can't take him down, and they've been trying to take him down for 7 years. I mean, I think a lot of people are starting to change their minds.
All right, Christine Bob, Stealing Your Vote, the inside story of the 2020 election, what it means for 2024, and again, Semper Fi, glad to have you.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Coming up, let's focus on the latest efforts to ban Trump on ballots. Stand by. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis. A place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, it's starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring you up. Billy picks a tune out.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So what do you say we start this hour with a joke? You ready for a good laugh? The laugh comes to you courtesy of NBC News. The NBC News reporter, Shahil Kapoor, reporting for NBC. Now, again, NBC is a media organization among what I call the state-controlled media. They do not see anything wrong with the Bidens. Everything is wrong with Trump. But the joke is going to be on them. Here's a statement by their NBC reporter. There is, quote, no evidence that Biden is behind Trump's indictment. I'm having a laugh. Are you having a laugh? no evidence Biden is behind Trump's indictment. Now, if you're talking about factual evidence, okay, and that's what they're trying to say. There's no factual evidence that Biden is behind Trump's indictments, two from special counsel Jack Smith, one each from prosecutors in New York and Georgia who don't answer to Washington, and yet the claims have been echoed by Speaker Kevin McCarthy and many congressional Republicans. They continue in their article stating, Biden has declined to comment on Trump's cases, saying the Justice Department operates independently from his White House. That's the way it's supposed to be, according to the Constitution. But a phone call or an email, especially using an alias to someone at the Justice Department, does mean something from the White House was sent over. But anyway, they go on to say he, Biden, has stayed silent on criminal charges against his son, Hunter, who's the subject of a special counsel investigation. Now, that statement right there is one of the few times NBC has even mentioned the Biden, Hunter son, Hunter Biden investigation. Wow. And they kind of slipped it under the door so they can say, no, we've been reporting on it. Look, here's our story. It said there's no evidence Biden's behind the Trump indictment, blah, 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 blah. And then we had, he stayed silent. Biden has stayed silent on criminal charges against his son, Hunter. So, see, we reported it. That's how they're going to get around it, but it's not going to fly. And by the way, a majority of those surveyed, according to a McLaughlin and Associates poll, do not agree with the NBC News assessment. No surprise there. The poll asked 1,000 general election voters, how much of a role would you say President Joe Biden has played in indicting former President Trump? 60% said, oh yeah, Biden had a role in the indictments. Just 29% said, no, he didn't. 11%, they're clueless, they have no idea. Among those who said Biden had a role, 39% said he had a major role. 21% said it was a minor role. Let me tell you this. If Biden had anything to do with the indictments, there is no minor role. It's a major role for the president to violate the Constitution and send via the White House, via courier, carrier pigeon, or whatever you prefer, using fake names to the Justice Department saying, get this man out of my way. I've got a Wall Street Journal article here in front of me, and this is from the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. The editorial board of the Wall Street Journal writes, now that their indictments have boosted Mr. Trump in the GOP primary polls, which they certainly have, opponents are resorting to their worst ideas since the panicky agitation of 2017 to remove him via the 25th Amendment. Do you remember that in 2017, shortly after he was in office? You talk about election deniers. They were already looking at a way, how do we claim the man's physically, mentally incapable of having the nuclear codes? He should not be president. Do you remember that? That's another case of election denying. Has anybody been charged with that? No, of course not. The editorial board added, in addition to that, now they want to invoke Section 3 of the Constitution's 14th Amendment to disqualify him from the 2024 ballot. And they add a number of legal scholars, a growing number, Democrats and GOP presidential hopefuls, putting forth an argument Trump may be disqualified from serving as president due to actions he allegedly took during the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol. The Wall Street Journal points out, allegedly. And there is no charge, not one charge in any of the cases brought against Trump relates directly to January 6. Not one. So how would they make that happen? Well, they had to come up with another indictment. Somebody realized, well, I thought you were going to put in your indictment. No, I thought you were going to put in your indictment. Well, somebody's got to, oh, Arizona's yet to file something against him. Maybe they can put it in that one. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment states, no one, quote, who has engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof, speaking of the government. Is there any allegation anywhere that Trump engaged in insurrection or rebellion? He's an election denier, but so is Stacey Abrams. So is Hillary Clinton over and over. And so have been so many Democrats and Republicans in the past. Well, what makes this difference? Trump. That's the only thing. He says this is, again, just another election interference effort. Another trick being used by the radical left, communist, Marxist, fascist, to again steal an election that their candidate, he writes in all caps on his Truth Social post, the worst, most competent, most corrupt president in history is incapable of winning a free and fair election. That's why the interview we were having a moment ago with a fellow Marine and author of the book about what's happening to swing the election this time around for the Democrats, they won't be able to use the exact same playbook of 2020. Now, there's another issue I want to get into here. It's amazing how some of the media is beginning to realize we cannot cover everything up all the time. At some point, we got to say, okay, we see this one. The New York Times is slowly beginning to acknowledge corruption that might be inside Ukraine and tied to the Soviet Union and might in turn, I should add, be tied to the Bidens. They're not making that connection, but I took that leap. The New York Times has acknowledged the enduring challenge of corruption in Ukraine, emerging as a rare area of criticism of President Zelensky's leadership. They're talking about the Ukraine defense minister that he dismissed the other day on alleged corruption charges. And they say that although he is yet to be tied with any of the corruption scandals personally, the Times admits the resignation is elevated to the issue to the highest level of Ukrainian politics. And unnamed military officials have told the New York Times some funds, money, U.S. dollars, and others, intended for military contracts, quote, I'm quoting the New York Times, quote, failed to produce weaponry or ammunition, and that some money has vanished. It just, I don't know, it just vanished. Talk about money going up in smoke. It didn't go up in smoke, it went in somebody's pocket. 9 senior government officials have already been sacked over allegations of corruption, purchasing military food supplies, vastly inflated prices, luxury vacations, all this according to the New York Times. And they did that back in January. Now they're admitting that it's even bigger and growing faster. We have $113 billion U.S. dollars spent in Ukraine. $113 billion. And we've asked the question from the beginning, where is the money going? Who's getting it? Who's being held accountable for it? Who is being held accountable? And the answer has been, don't know. We'll get back to you on that. So now with the ousting of the defense minister, the New York Times acknowledges, although there have yet to be specific allegations of corruption involving American funding, the nature of graft has shifted from traditional avenues of exploiting state-run enterprises to a focus on war profiting as billions pour into the country. You knew that had to happen. You don't dump that kind of money across any country and not have abuse. You want a perfect example? Right here in our country. All the COVID monies that got dispensed across the nation, they estimate millions upon millions went to the wrong people, wrong reasons, and just flat fraud. Speaking of the New York Times, the executive director of the Anti-Corruption Action Center in Ukraine said, "Where is the money? Corruption can kill. Depending on how effective we are in guarding the public funds, the soldier will either have a weapon or not have a weapon. We've sent weapons, we've sent money. The Biden administration wants to send even more. No, I think we've reached the limit of that." And again, he has spent 0.1%, 0.1% on helping in the disaster in a state of this nation, Hawaii, compared to what we're giving Ukraine. All right, let me turn to another subject. And then what happens when your electric car suddenly is underwater? Wow. It's going to catch fire. That's what's going to happen. Hurricane Idalia, of course, slamming into Florida last week. And already authorities were telling everyone, if you own an electric car, you need to get it to high ground. Get it to high ground because, yep, you're going to see fires. They're documenting, according to an ABC Tampa Bay affiliate, only two Tesla vehicles so far igniting after they got contaminated by salt water because of the storm surge. The fire department reports exposure to salt water can trigger combustion in these lithium-ion batteries, and it did. That's why, again, they said, even if it's in a garage, get it to high ground. Well, some folks didn't do it. Now, again, they're only documenting two so far. There might be others that have yet to be documented. We do know that because of various rains and issues like that all over in Florida and the Carolinas last year, that 21 electric vehicles caught fire and burned. That's only 21, you say. It's easy for you to say if it's not your car. There are something like 358,000 damaged vehicles other than electric. So gas cars are not immune from floodwaters. We all know that. Tesla even has a guidance page out now. What to do if your car becomes submerged due to flooding or extreme weather. Treat your cars. If it's been in an accident, contact your insurance company. That's a good idea. I think the first thing they should say is, get the hell out of the car. They don't say that, but contact your insurance company. They also point out, even after the rain and water is gone, they don't, but according to fire department and other sources, if salt particles get into your battery and other electrical components, they become a conductor and they lead to a short circuit, eventually a fire. Stop and think about that. I know several people who have cars down in Florida. They leave them there. And they know that over a period of time, the bottoms are going to begin to rust out. Other parts are going to be corroded with the salt air and water, much less the water, but the air. Same around California. And I think if you look, you're going to find a lot of electric vehicles are sold in California. And in Florida, and other coastal states as well. Electric cars are not the future for now. There may be a day, but right now it's all part of the climate scam. Now, if you want to spend the money on an electric car, that's your choice. But they want to actually get rid of all gasoline-powered vehicles and make you either buy an electric car or walk or ride in an electric bus. And several of those who have those buses have had to shut down their bus lines because they have issues. Thanks for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.